The Writer's Almanac podcast is supported by the Fetzer Institute as part of its campaign for love and forgiveness, online at loveandforgive.org. And here is the Writer's Almanac for Tuesday. It's the 29th of April, 2008. It's the birthday of the Greek poet C.P. Kavafi, born in Egypt in Alexandria, 1863, the youngest of nine children. When he was 9 years old, his family moved to England. They stayed there for 5 years, so he learned English at a formative time in his life, so that when he started writing poetry, he wrote his first poems in English rather than in his native Greek tongue. He went to work for the Ministry of Public Works in Egypt as an irrigation services clerk. He remained at this job for over 30 years. He lived with his mother until she died when he was 36, and then lived with unmarried brothers, and eventually at age 45 began to live by himself. References to homosexual love in some of his poems lead some people to believe that he was gay. We don't know that. He lived in an apartment in Alexandria. He said, "Where could I live better? Under me is a house of ill repute, which caters to the needs of the flesh. Over there is the church, where sins are forgiven, and beyond is the hospital, where we die." One of his best friends was the novelist E.M. Forster, with whom he corresponded for 25 years. C.P. Kavafi, who wrote in his poem Ithaca, "When you set out on your journey to Ithaca, pray that the road is long, full of adventure, full of knowledge. Not expecting that Ithaca will offer you riches, Ithaca has given you the beautiful voyage." It's the birthday of William Randolph Hearst, born San Francisco, 1863. His father was a millionaire miner who won a newspaper, the San Francisco Examiner, as payment for a gambling debt. And his son William, who was in his early 20s, became the publisher, and over the next few decades acquired 30 more newspapers, New York, Los Angeles, Boston, and Chicago. His father owned a huge ranch near San Simeon, California, and William Randolph Hearst inherited it. It was 250,000 acres, started to build a palace there, collaborating with an architect from San Francisco, Julia Morgan. They worked on it until 1947, at which time it had 165 rooms, 56 bedrooms, 41 fireplaces, indoor, outdoor swimming pools, decorated with marble, adorned with statues of mythological figures and giraffes and storks and chimpanzees and grizzly bears and elephants in a zoo, 127 acres of gardens. San Simeon, the castle there on the coast of California, it was donated to the state of California in 1957, and now you may visit it and take a guided tour. Here's a poem for today by John Updike, entitled Slumlords. The super rich make lousy neighbors. They buy a house and tear it down and build another twice as big and leave. They're never there. They own so many other houses. Each demands a visit. Entire neighborhoods called fashionable, bustling with servants and masters, such as Lewisburg Square in Boston or Bel Air in L.A., are districts now like Wall Street after dark, or Tombstone once the silver boom went bust. The essence of the super rich is absence. They like to demonstrate they can afford to be elsewhere. Don't let them in. Their riches form a kind of poverty. A poem by John Updike, Slumlords, from Americana and Other Poems, published by Alfred A. Knopf, and used by permission here on the Writer's Almanac, supported by the Poetry Foundation, publisher of American Life and Poetry, bringing poetry to newspaper readers across the country. You can find it online at poetryfoundation.org. And by the Fetzer Institute as part of its campaign for love and forgiveness, online at loveandforgive.org. produced by Katrina Chikala and our technical director, Thomas Schweitzker. Be well, do good work, and keep in touch. The Writer's Almanac podcast is supported by Poetry Magazine, for over 90 years, a premier publisher of contemporary verse. You can find it online at poetrymagazine.org.